This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Julie Rosenoff is a pioneer in specialty tea dating to 1990 when she co-founded the Perennial Tea Room near Pike's Market on the Seattle waterfront. In 2004, Julie hosted tea-themed dinners there with author Norwood Pratt, narrating the story of teas as courses were served. Tastings and special events led to the founding of the Puget Sound Tea Education Association and the region's first tea party, featuring Barnes & Watson, Tea House Kuan Yin, Tea Geek, that's Michael Coffey, Sa Tea, Village Yarn & Tea, and Choice Organic Tea. Inspired by the mass tastings hosted by Bay Area tea firms for the 50,000 foodies attending the first Slow Food Nation in September 2008, the Northwest Tea Festival, a not-for-profit venture, launched to wide acclaim later that month. Welcome to the TBS podcast, Doug and Julie. The Northwest Tea Festival is a genuine specialty tea experience, a social gathering of respected speakers and vendors with a delightfully appreciative audience. Julie, tell us what inspired you to get involved in hosting this event.
What inspired me to start the festival was Norwood Pratt. He came to Seattle and he came to a meeting of a number of tea vendors in Seattle at that time. And he said that no one was celebrating the 400th anniversary of tea coming to Amsterdam, which is the origin of Orange Pekoe. It was the House of Orange and it was a Pekoe tea. So we said, we'll do this. And we spent a year sorting it out. And the following year, we had our first tea festival. And we've had them every year since then, except for COVID. And we were down for 3 years and now we're back. But that's how it started. I didn't know what was going to happen the first year we did it. And the most exciting thing for me was having 500 people standing in line waiting to get in that first day. And all of them having a wonderful time. I think we only had about 7 booths. It was a wonderful thing. Everybody had a good time. And they all said, we want to come back, do it again. And so we have. And so that is still there. The morning of the first day, there is a line out the door, down the street and around the block. And it is just fabulous to see all these people waiting to have tea.
Doug, how has organizing the festival changed your view of tea?
My view expanded quite a bit by thinking about how to present tea to somebody else and not just focus on myself. And the idea of really delving into speakers, bringing in speakers and people to talk about the culture behind tea and all the various social aspects of tea nationwide, and how I really became more engrossed with tea by working on the festival. So I kind of did my homework and learned a lot more and were able to have contact with some pretty amazing people, not only locally, but nationally and internationally, either in person or via, some sort of media. So yeah, it did change and grew my understanding and appreciation and love of tea. It's hard to measure, but it had a huge impact.
It's a wonderful story about the show's origin. I've attended several and found new events and activities as it matured. Will you give listeners a glimpse of what will happen this year? What makes this year's show special?
What makes this year special is that we're still coming out of COVID. We're still reorganizing and getting ourselves together. And Doug and I, after 17 years are stepping back a bit. And so new people are in charge and they're doing a really incredible job. They're working very hard. And some things will be different. Some things will be the same. And it's going to be very exciting watching them come to success with all this new experience and responsibility that they haven't had before. It's going to be great to see.
Will you tell us, Doug, a little more about the venue and the show's layout?
Over the years, we've moved around a number of places, depending on spot sizes and so forth. It's always been centered in the downtown area of Seattle and Seattle Center complex. The current venue is an exhibition hall. Our attendance right now is somewhere around plus or minus 3,000, 3,500 people. We have up to 50, 60 vendors, a lot of presentations and so forth. So it's a large exhibition hall. There's an exhibition floor area, and then we have areas partitioned off around the perimeter for other events, whether it's stage presentations or workshops. And the T-Bar is a concept that has been developed not by Julie and I. This was something that was brought in by other people on our planning committee, and they've really developed it and turned it into a very exciting way of allowing people to have and experience tea rather than just walking around between vendors and getting tastes, which is important. But this was a little bit more interaction that's kind of in between the formal presentations and workshops. And it's very accessible to people, and it's been very well received.
I want to focus momentarily on an emerging trend: retailing tea by offering memorable experiences. Everyone in America knows what tea is, but millions have not experienced or enjoyed the exquisite taste of specialty tea. Julie, will you describe how the festival makes it easy for a commodity tea drinker to be awakened to tea's culture, style, and taste?
First off, people come in and see maybe 40 or 50 vendors, all of whom have their own version of exquisite tea. And everybody who comes in receives a sample teacup. It'll hold about 2 ounces of tea. And as they walk around, they can taste all of the teas that all of the vendors are brewing all day long for 2 days. And they can talk about what the teas are. They can ask questions. All of the vendors are going to have plenty of information and they're going to have samples. If there's something someone really likes, they can take some home. And if they don't like it, they can throw it out and start again somewhere else. But because that happened, you know, your taste has to grow and develop. And you might not welcome a pu'er if you've been drinking Lipton tea bags. So that's a big difference. There is a wide open range of what people can try and taste. And that's just with the vendors. And then if they go to the tea bar, they can sit and try different kinds of teas and have them 3 or 4 different times, you know, that they'll re-steep, because re-steeping is a concept that only comes with exquisite kinds of teas. And if people aren't used to that, then that's a whole new experience for them. And so there's a wide range of varieties and experiences that people can have and that will just awaken their taste buds and their sensitivity to tea and its wonderful range of experience and flavors.
Doug, what's going through their mind when someone's face lights up after tasting these teas?
Well, a lot of different things, as to, you know, giving somebody an experience that is new and different to them. And that is one of the core things of the tea festival, our tea festival, which is, you know, isn't a commercial event. It's not really a trade show where vendors are selling to other businesses, where our focus is with the person who's actually going to be drinking the tea. And when they light up and realize that there's an aspect to it that they didn't realize before, that's growth for them. That's personal growth. That's enjoyment. That's delight. That's education. And all of those is, all of those are really core goals of the event. And when we see that happen, we know we're doing what we're trying to do. There's nothing wrong with drinking commodity teas. There's nothing sacred about having to find the most exquisite oolongs and so forth. The idea is the experience and the social aspects of it. And that was also one of the biggest challenges with COVID, was the social aspects and being able to see that response from people and experience that and be able to exchange that back and forth was so truncated because socially we couldn't be social as much. And, you know, with all the media that came in, became available, well, that sort of helped a lot and certainly is expanded the capacity to be able to do that from a great distance. So yes, we can do a Zoom thing or a Facebook thing and or FaceTime thing and see that experience and that person, you know, smile and make noises, enjoyment and so forth. we can vicariously experience that as somebody who is trying to reach somebody. And that's, again, the core of tea. Tea is a social beverage at a very basic level. There are many societies, ours is not one, where you don't have meetings without tea. I mean, it's not, it's like being dressed. Mm-hmm. And it becomes an important part of the experience. So yes, that long answer to that experience is what is all about. It's a celebration of this amazing beverage that has captivated the whole world. We as organizers try to work to maintain a setting and a structure and so forth, so everybody involved in this can have a enjoyable time. We're looking at the experience of everybody around this whole subject of tea and how people can share that experience, whether they're a presenter or whether they're a consumer, whether they're somebody who's trying to run a business.
Julie, I want you to picture yourself as a carnival barker inviting passersby to purchase a ticket.
Come to the tea festival and find out more about a drink that you probably already like and meet people who share your enthusiasm and who are going to be willing to show you new ways to drink tea and to enjoy it. And there'll be more people to meet and new friends and a way of expanding a cultural experience throughout the world. You're going to meet people from all over the world. It's going to be very exciting. Don't miss it.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.